We start today's program with a look at the latest visit to Arizona by Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. He spoke on Tuesday in Prescott Valley, a few hours before last night's vice presidential debate. Political analyst and former state legislative leader Chris Hurstum is with me to talk Trump. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
So why does Trump keep coming back to Arizona?
That's a good question, I'll tell you. I haven't figured it out yet. The only thing I can come up with is that this race, the presidential race in Arizona, is closer than people think. This was his sixth appearance. He went right into the solid red area of Prescott Valley, clearly trying to whip up his base and get the votes out. Perhaps the guidance comes from a couple of new polls today. One, an Arizona Google consumer survey that was taken from September 27th to October 3rd shows Clinton with 39%, Trump 33%, Johnson 6%. And then there's a new Reuters Ipsos Arizona poll that just came out that shows Trump with 46%, Clinton with 42%. So when you look at the numbers of some of these polls that have come out, they say it's close. They say Arizona is still up for grabs at the presidential level. Trump's people must believe that, or why would he keep coming?
Exactly, Chris, because there has been talk for a while about very, very different races over the years, that whether Arizona could turn and be more Democratic and whatnot. We haven't seen a lot of evidence of that, at least at the statewide level. But in this particular race, is this just the fact that Trump has so many negatives that perhaps he has a very strong base of support here in Arizona, but beyond that, he needs to make sure he gets other people to vote for him as well? Because as you mentioned, Prescott Valley, those are folks he would already have.
Well, I think the fact that he went to Prescott Valley and the fact that earlier in the day he was in a solid Republican area up in Colorado, that he's trailing in Colorado, shows that the Trump campaign has basically given up on trying to get centrists or moderates or more women to their side, which he has to do to win at the national level. They're just now concentrating in these last 30-some days on their base, their right-wing base, and they're going and campaigning strictly in right-wing areas. I would point this out to you, though. Trump may still yet win Arizona, but in my opinion, the reason he'll win Arizona is because Hillary Clinton is not coming to Arizona. She is concentrating on Nevada and Florida and Pennsylvania, et cetera, and she is not come in during the general election one time here. In fact, I'm told that Chelsea Clinton and Tim Kaine both have fundraisers scheduled in Arizona over the next 10 days or so, and no public events have been scheduled yet. I find that bizarre. If the race is really within 3 or 4 points either way, why wouldn't the Clinton campaign be trying to score and to win Arizona? I think they've come to the conclusion that, yes, maybe we could win Arizona, but our chances are better in Nevada. Our chances are better in Florida, et cetera, and they're going to concentrate on the traditional battleground states. And if Clinton doesn't come into Arizona and do a public event, et cetera, she may very well let Arizona slip away from her.
Now, you know a lot more about campaigning, Chris, than many of us listening right now, but I have seen many, many Hillary Clinton ads, many of them, of course, portraying certain things about Donald Trump, how he relates to women and many other people. Ads for a lot of people are the way they sort of find out more about a candidate to begin with. So are you saying that in this case, in order to really sell the deal, it's not just about ads, it's actually a personal presence?
Oh, I think so, because when a candidate comes into town, particularly one that has not come six times like Trump has, they could move into Phoenix and Tucson in a very short time period, and a lot of activists, a lot of people that are on the ground, that are getting the vote out, it's their chance to celebrate. It whips up excitement, and it's what you do if the state is very close, which Arizona may be. That's just the reality, but you only have so much time, and apparently the Clinton people, up till now at least, have just decided to try to raise money in Arizona and shift that to other battleground states.
Anything from yesterday that indicates to you that Donald Trump in any way has modified or moderated his message?
No, Trump delivered his normal disgusting stump speech. Trump buried the Prescott Valley crowd with red meat. He portrayed America as some dystopian wasteland ruled by, quote, criminal aliens. And by the way, that offensive term, criminal aliens, was used last night by his vice presidential running mate, Pence, in the VP debate. He is sticking with the same right-wing red meat, throwing it out there, attacking Hillary Clinton as the most corrupt individual we've ever seen, and really making Arizona sound like the nation sound like a dark, foreboding place that only he can turn around and bring us back to the good old days. It's the same ridiculous speech that he's given over and over again, and he thinks it's going to give him the presidency. I don't think it's going to work.
And Chris, finally, is that message, the negativity that you're citing, is that enough to get folks on the other side or those on the fence to decide to get actively involved and either work against him or vote against him?
No, I think, frankly, the 9 or 10% that are on the fence, which is still a rather high number for this late in the campaign, they're just going to decide towards the end. They don't like either candidate, clearly, or they would have been committed by now. And I think they're going to have to decide, look, who is going to make the best president, even though we don't like them personally. And I just got to believe that the majority of the undecided votes are going to swing to Hillary Clinton because of her qualifications and because of all the crazy comments that Donald Trump makes.
Political analyst and former legislative leader Chris Hurstom. Chris, thanks.
My pleasure.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. And now with me is Republican political and PR consultant Shane Wickvers of Red Mountain Consulting. Shane, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So why do you think Donald Trump keeps coming back to Arizona?
Well, the election is very close here in Arizona. As Chris mentioned, the polling reflects that Donald Trump is about 2 points ahead, which should put any presidential candidate in a very nervous position, especially considering in 2012 Mitt Romney won the state 53-44% over Barack Obama. So he's got to get back here. He's got to calm and give some comfort to some of the Republicans who are traditionally in line with more of the establishment, as he likes to call them, and give them some motivation to vote for him. But it's going to be close, and Hillary realizes this. I don't think she'll pull all the stops out here in Arizona to try to win this election, but there are some factors such as Latino turnout that she is hoping will finally come to fruition here in Arizona this election cycle.
Now, Shane, you're a longtime conservative, and I think it's fair to label you as a social conservative. Does Donald Trump's message in that sense, even though I presume you wouldn't be voting for Hillary Clinton, does his message make you nervous in any way as a social conservative?
It does. It still does, and it comes. Most of that is from his historical background and positions he's maintained in the past. What does give social conservatives comfort when it comes to this ticket is Mike Pence. Mike Pence brings to the table some very sound, solid positions on a lot of the cultural issues. And I think that's one of the reasons why Republicans like myself and many other Republicans who kind of fall in the traditional fold of the party are supporting this ticket is because of Mike Pence.
Shane, there are some who have compared Trump in certain ways as a less conventional candidate. They've compared him to Ronald Reagan for some, although Ronald Reagan had served as governor of California, so the differences are pretty stark there. But just someone who's more about communication, perhaps, and a little bit less about the message. But a lot of people, especially fans of Reagan, would say that his message was usually pretty positive, whereas Trump's is pretty negative. Do you think that hurts the overall embracing of Trump, perhaps even more than the things he says? It's the way he says them.
It does, and this has been one of the reasons why Republicans have struggled with Donald Trump as the nominee. I disagree with his this optimism message. I don't think Trump has been anything but inflammatory in this election cycle, and it's caused a lot of us great concern. After the 2012 election cycle, there was a lot of sitting down and looking back at the election cycle with Mitt Romney, and many of us walked away with this saying we need to appeal much more strongly to positive tones with millennials, with women's, with Latinos. And this election cycle has been anything but that. And that's one of the biggest problems that Republicans have had with Donald Trump's and how he gets out there and sells his message.
So what are the things, obviously a lot of people listening are those who probably have heard a lot about Trump and perhaps some are pretty negative toward Trump. What are some things that you as a conservative, as a Republican, are thinking that you are positive about Trump? We've sort of talked about the negative parts. Are there any things that really get you sort of excited as a Republican about him?
Well, here's the big picture. You have two candidates that are not very well liked by the electorate. And the problem is who can agitate enough turnout? Where Trump's appeal is, and this is unusual, it goes against what I mentioned earlier about the 2012 look back, and that is he is hoping to agitate enough disaffected independents and enough blue-collar workers to turn out for him. If that's the case, then he can win. The big factor that nobody is quite yet sure how it's going to go is, how will the Hispanic vote this election cycle, and will they finally reach a critical mass to affect the election cycle? Traditionally here in Arizona, the Latino turnout has not been that high, except in isolated situations like the Russell Pierce recall. So in this case, the question is who agitates enough people to turn out, given the fact that both candidates are not very well liked by the electorate? And I think whoever does that the best will win the election.
And if we're just focusing on Arizona, is there anything that you think would swing this a little bit one way or the other? As you mentioned, it appears Trump, based on most polls, is up by a couple of points in Arizona. Do you expect that to hold? And if not, what would change enough percentage points to get Hillary Clinton ahead?
I think it will hold. As we get closer to Election Day, those numbers will start to solidify even more, although many, many people have already made up their mind. I think if Trump was to come to the East Valley and speak primarily to the LDS vote in the East Valley, he would give much more reason for some of the disaffected LDS Republicans to vote for him, especially after the insults that he's levied on Mitt Romney. And that could certainly help. But he has not done that. And I think that as we get closer, early ballots go out here within the week, people are going to start casting their votes, and it's going to be a very, very close election. And I think most of us feel that this is probably the most unpredictable general election presidential race that we've seen.
Republican political and PR consultant Shane Wickfords of Red Mountain Consulting. And Shane, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.